ministries that you have raised up here at Calvary Chapel. And Lord, this morning as we come to you, Lord, we pray that you would open not only our eyes, but you would open our hearts to your wondrous word. Lord, that it would just live in us. We pray, Lord, for the moving and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in each of our lives. And Lord, we call those things that be not as though they exist, Lord, the things that exist that be not they were. In other words, Lord, those that don't know you this morning, whether they're listening live or they're here in the chapel, we pray, oh God, today that their eyes would truly be opened and they would be saved. And Lord, for the condition of our world right now, if there's ever been a time when there's just such destruction everywhere, it is today. We pray over all the horrible effects and the hurricanes, Lord, there, Florida, along the coast, Texas, and, oh, Puerto Rico, Lord, all the just horrible. And, Father, for the continuing earthquakes that are happening there in Mexico, we pray for the people. We pray for strength. Lord, we pray for anyone who is buried there, Lord, to be found and even found today. And, Lord, we pray that the words of fire that are going forth from two nations, there from North Korea and our country, that they would cease and desist. We pray for peace that passes understanding in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to John's Gospel. We're in chapter 9, going to cover the entire chapter this morning. This morning, we come into the sixth of the seventh of Jesus' seven signs. And remember, there was the water that he turned to wine, and then there was the healing of the nobleman's son. There was a healing that took place of the man at the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of the 5,000, and then, of course, walking on the water. And then this morning, a healing of the man who was born blind from birth. Matter of fact, born blind is the title of this message this morning. You remember that in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, John the apostle, you know, all the other apostles are dead. John writes this toward the end of his life. He's looking back in the Gospel of John. That's why 92% of what we cover in the Gospel of John is not found in the other Gospels at all. So here, Jesus, John writes in John 20, 30, he says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. In other words, these are intentionally written, these signs, these seven signs in the book of John, that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen? That's what this is all about. Remember that a sign is more than a wonder. It points to the reality of something else. In this case, Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. We have a sign now, it says Calvary Chapel, but that's not Calvary Chapel. That's just a sign that points to us in here. We're Calvary Chapel. Amen? We're the Lord's church. Now, with all that being said, it's important this morning that we understand that there are two types of blindness in chapter 9 and in the world. There's the spiritual blindness, that'll be those of the religious rulers, and there's also that a physical blindness, which was the blind man. Remember that Jesus had done something in chapter 8. He proclaimed himself as the light of the world. So let's begin this morning in chapter 9. Let's just begin at the very last verse of chapter 8. It says, then they took up stones to throw at Jesus, meaning the religious rulers, because he said, I am God. But Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by, beginning in chapter 9. And now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus passed by. He left the temple area. They didn't touch him with a stone at all. And now he's passing by this man. I want you to notice something. He didn't pass by this man who was born blind like the Levites and the priests did. Remember when they were coming down from the temple to Jericho in the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus didn't pass him by like that. Jesus stopped. And man, this blind man had absolutely no idea that the eyes of the living God were looking upon him. He wasn't aware of that absolutely at all. So here this man, who's also, it says later on, he was not only blind, he was there at the temple, he was begging as well. But here in our text, blind from birth, he had never seen anything in this world. Never. And here, this only recorded incident, meaning of a person who was born in this manner, where the Lord heals him. Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, will you heal this man? They didn't do that, did they? Now, that's what we would have done, I think. Lord, heal this man. Look at the condition he's in. And look what they did. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the disciples looked upon this individual, the man that was begging at the temple, as like a theological issue, or even the same question that we ask in our own lives. Why did this person, why were they born this way? Why did this happen? And you know, God always gives us answers in his word. And so, you know, the problem is, if we read this verse, verse 2, if we don't read it, the disciples' questions, with a Jewish mindset, then we're going to get in a lot of trouble, because we're going to start going off on all different roads and so forth. The Jews taught this. They believed in prenatal sin, meaning that a baby in the womb could sin, and because they had sinned, here's the results of their sin. Okay? That's what they believed. Now, it's not a question really of who sinned, because everyone has sinned, right? There's not one person that has come into this world without sin except Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for we have all sinned, fall short of the glory of God because of Adam, what he did. Now look at verse 3. Then Jesus answered, and look at his answer, very, very important. Neither this man sinned, if I add that to Scripture, nor his parents sinned. Now there should be not a comma there, but a period, okay? And it says, but that the works of God should be what? Revealed or displayed in his in this man or in his life. So what does Jesus do? He says neither. He says this man's blindness, his parents or himself. Listen, there is no reason here, Jesus says, it's not caused by any specific sin, nor, loved one, was it caused by God. This is not a work of God. A work of God is to open blind eyes. Amen? Now, so this person, this blind man who was born blind from birth, he wasn't like some spiritual guinea pig or whatever, you know, and he wasn't being punished. And I know that there's others, and you may be thinking, well, Bill, what about the Old Testament where it says, I believe it's Exodus chapter 20, I think it's verse 5 off the top of my head, where it says that the sins of the father will go unto the third and the fourth generation. And that's where people stop. They never read the rest of the command there. It's in Exodus. It says, to those who hate me. In other words, here's a father, and he says, well, he doesn't love God, and say he's a drug dealer, and the next thing his son is growing up, and he becomes a drug dealer, and then all of a sudden he grows up, and then his son becomes a drug dealer. Are you following me? Things that they're doing wrong. So that doesn't apply to our text here at all. Listen, sin, sickness, and disease, we know where they come from. They are a direct result of the fall, a direct result of Adam's disobedience. He brought sin, he brought death, he brought sickness into the world when he sinned in the garden. Amen? So we need to understand that. You know, people say today, well, these hurricanes and so forth, they're a judgment from God. I don't know that they're a judgment from God. We live in a fallen world, in a fallen atmosphere. Amen? I remember when the AIDS epidemic occurred many, many, many years ago. They say, well, it was a judgment of God. No, it was a judgment upon the individual because they sinned against God's truth. Whether they were saved or unsaved, that was a result of all of that. You know, Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, to blame a specific disability on a specific sin committed by a specific person is beyond man's ability or man's authority. Only God knows why babies are born like that. Only God knows. We don't understand. Jesus said that the works of God may be revealed in him. You know what that means? Jesus is saying to the disciples, listen, this man is a miracle just waiting to happen. Amen? This man right here, he said, this is an opportunity for Jesus or for God, my Father, to be glorified because we're going to bring healing to his body. Now, look what he says in verse 4. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And the night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat upon the ground. He made clay with his what? Saliva. Only three times in Scripture is that mentioned that he did that. And he anointed or rubbed in the clay in the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Homework assignment. You better make sure you write it down. This is very important. How much saliva does it take to make clay? I'm not even going to talk to you about that. But we have to ask ourselves, why clay? I mean, why did he do that? Was it a creative miracle when he rubbed that into his eyes? Was it a creative miracle? You know, where he was forming eyes? We're not told at all. I mean, we are made from the dust of the earth. Amen? But you know, it's interesting. Over in Mark's gospel, let me just read a chapter from Mark, or just a few verses. I think it's in chapter Mark 7. It says in verse 32, it says, they brought to Jesus one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. Now listen carefully. And Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, which is be opened. And immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Isn't that an amazing thing? Why would Jesus take the spittle and do such things? Did you know there's a million answers to that question and none of them are correct? I mean, people have written nearly books upon that subject. You know, the fact of the matter is that you can never, I can never, no one should ever put Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, in some theological box, okay? It says many signs. Remember earlier when I read John 20, 30, 31? Many signs did Jesus do. Many, many healings. I mean, he raised the dead. Many things that he did. They're not even recorded for us. Never put the Lord in a theological box. Listen, I remember one night, it was a Wednesday night service, a man came down and stood at the altar and says, Bill, he said, listen, would you pray, please pray for my hearing? And I immediately remembered that scripture, you know, Ephphatha, put his fingers in the ears. I didn't spit, you know, but I do spit sometimes. That's why they put me back here. Harley knows about that. So I put the fingers in his ear, you know, and I'm going, oh, yeah, Lord, you know, I had the oil and all of that. And, you know, and then I said, oh, Lord, just Ephphatha, be opened in Jesus' name. I pulled my fingers out and I said, how's your hearing now? He said, my hearing, Bill, is next week. Verse 7, and he said to him, listen, it's my first day back. Give me a break, okay? All right. And he said to them, go, look what Jesus said to the blind man, the one born blind, go wash in the pool of Siloam, that word which of course is translated sent. And so look what he did. He went, he washed, and he what? Came back seeing. Man, listen, go. The incredible power of obedience when you obey our Lord. Now listen, there was absolutely no healing power in the clay. That didn't heal him. There was no healing power in the water of the pool of Siloam. There was no power there at all. Jesus doesn't lay hands upon him. Jesus doesn't say be healed or any of those things. Jesus says go. Wash, he went. Now listen to me. That is a command from our Lord without any evidence of anything happening except his eyes are obviously really irritated. Are you following me? Now, so what does this man do? He goes on nothing except the very words of our Lord. And so should we. Amen? Oh, listen, the healing was a direct result of obedient faith. And Jesus placed conditions upon his healing. He said, you have to go and you have to do something. you have to wash. I mean, let me ask you a question. If the man had gone all the way to the pool of Siloam, but he didn't wash, would he have been healed? No, he had to do exactly what the Lord said. He went to the pool of Siloam, he washed, and he came back seeing. Listen, this man wasn't saved yet, and the Lord healed him. But had he not been obedient, number one, he would have never been cured of his blindness. And number two, he would probably never been saved. But thank God he was obedient. Now, we're going to cover three people groups here very quickly, and then we're going to make application at the end of the sermon, okay? Therefore, the neighbors, now, that's the first people group. Those who had previously seen that he was blind said, "Is this not he who sat and begged?" Some said, "Well, this is he," and others said, "Well, it looks like him." He said, "I am he." He's frustrated. He said, "Listen, therefore they said to him, well, how were your eyes open?" Now, in our text now, loved one, before we make our application, they're going to ask this same question, or he's going to be asked this same question four times. Don't you think that they should have been going, hallelujah and praise God? But they weren't doing that at all. They weren't even rejoicing. And he answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam, wash. So I went, washed, I received sight." What did he leave out? Do you know what he left out? Look at it. He made the clay, he anointed my eyes. The spittle. Why did he leave that out? Because he can't see at that. Are you listening? See, he didn't know. He wasn't able to see what Jesus was doing. Now, he says, "Then I received my sight." And then they said to him, "Well, where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." And they brought him to who was formerly blind to the Pharisees. And now it was on the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again, "Well, how did you receive his sight?" And he said to them, "He put clay in my eyes. I washed. I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God." And here's the reason in their reasoning. Because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. In other words, making clay on the Sabbath was considered a violation. It was considered work. Others said, "Well, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So here's the problem, as we've already studied this out about the Sabbath, that day of God's rest for the people of God. What happened was the Pharisees took the traditions of men, not the Word of God, and elevated the traditions of men above the very Word of God, or at least put it on the same level, the same authority, which was wrong. Now, they created a burden for the people. Did you know, even on the Sabbath, that a blind man was not allowed to even have his staff? Think about that. It was sin to do that. And also, if you were a man and you lived back then and you were a Jew and you were going to observe the Sabbath, did you know that you could not pluck a hair from your beard? Oh, never mind. All right. You couldn't even cut your fingernails. Think about that for a minute. No, but did Jesus ever break the law? No, he broke the traditions of man. Listen, God's mercy, God's healing, God's grace, God's provision, God's love for people never rest on the Sabbath. Amen. Now, watch verse 17 again. We're going to go quickly. And they said to the blind man again, "Well, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." And he said, "Well, he's a prophet." Just same thing the woman at the well said, remember? But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind, received his sight, until they called the parents. There's the third people group now. It says, the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" Now look what his parents do, or does. His parents answered them and said, "Well, we know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is an adult. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." Now, his parents said these things because of the fear of the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue or literally excommunicated. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age. Ask him." So they called the man who was blind and said to them, "Give God glory," or meaning, I'm putting you now under an oath. You're in the presence of God. You speak the very truth now before God. Don't lie. He says, "We know that this man is a sinner." That's a very heartbreaking scripture, because the word "know" there means know, to know something absolute. I know absolutely. meaning that the Pharisees just crossed over a line they should have never, ever crossed by saying, we know absolutely that this man is a sinner, the one who had never sinned. Oh, how blind they are. And he answered and said this, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, that I was blind and now I see. Amen. Loved one, listen to me. Isn't that the testimony of every person that has ever been born again? In other words, I was blind, and we were all born blind, just like this man. Are you listening to me? All of us. And he says, now for the first time, I'm seeing. He's not talking about just physical. He's talking about spiritual as well. And he says, oh, no. He says, I'm born again. He said, I'm sorry. Not here he wasn't born again, but he will in verse 35. But he's saying, listen, that's what happened to us. In other words, when I came to the Lord, probably just like you, I didn't know why it happened or how it happened, but I just knew it happened. I didn't know anything about God's word. I didn't even know a scripture, but I knew something had happened. I knew that I was blind, but now I can see clearly. I knew that Jesus was real. I knew that God's power and his love was real because I experienced them just like you did. And then they said to him again, well, what did he do to you and how did he open your eyes? Now, that's the fourth time he's been asked that question. He answered and said, listen, I told you already. You didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You know, do you want to become his disciple? And then they reviled, or literally they abused him and said, you are his disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses for this fellow. We do not know where he is from. And the man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing. And you don't know where he is from, and yet he's opened my eyes. Now listen, this guy has only had his eyes open for about 3 hours, okay? For the first time in his life, he's a grown man. For the first time in his life, he sees the beauty of the temple. He sees the faces of his parents. He sees also the Pharisees with their phylacteries and their robes and their manner of dress. And for the first time in his life now, he looks into the faces of people and that hate him, that hate Christ. He sees the prejudice. He's having new emotions that he has never had in his life. And look at his sermon. It goes in verse 31. And now we know that God doesn't hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said to him, you're completely born in sins. Again, the reason that you were born blind is because you're a sinner and you are teaching us. And then they cast him out, or literally they excommunicated him. In other words, never again could he set foot in the temple. And he'd only been able to set foot in the temple for the very first time in his life because he was always kept out as a beggar. He wasn't allowed to go in. And now he's cut off from the religious, the nation. He has to be shunned by everyone, cannot be employed by anyone. His parents have to shun him too, or then they will be excommunicated. So here he is. He's been healed for 3 hours. He is left alone. All he knows is immediately removed from him. But there's the good shepherd. Watch in 35, Jesus heard. When Jesus heard that, they had cast him out or excommunicated him. And when he had what? Found him, Luke 19:10. Jesus comes to seek and to save those who are lost. Amen. Jesus said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Or literally there, it should be the Son of Man. And this is a call to commitment. You know, listen, he had never seen the face of Jesus. He knew his voice though, didn't he? Yes, but he didn't know who Jesus was. You know, in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Now watch this. And he answered, well, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. And then he said, Lord, Master, Owner, Savior, Lord, I believe. I believe with all of my heart. And then what did he do? He worshiped him. So now, number one, God healed him. Jesus healed him of his physical blindness. And now the one born blind is healed from his spiritual blindness. Amen. He was rejected and now he's accepted by our Lord. And Jesus said, for judgment, I've come into this world and those who do not see may see and those who may see may be made blind. It's important to remember that this verse, which sometimes kind of messes people's minds up, there's not a contradiction here between this verse and John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Remember that says this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen? It's important that we remember that. And so it says in verse 18 of 3:17 and 18, it says, and he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. And the reason? He has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So when people are confronted with Jesus and they do not receive Christ as their Lord, number one, they're already under judgment, right? But they just literally pass judgment upon themselves. And the reason they don't receive Christ is because they were born blind, just like the blind man. They're just as blind as the blind man was. They're blind to their sin. Now, and then some of the Pharisees said, who were with him, heard these words and said, well, are we blind also? Yeah, and we can say amen to that. They were the blind leading the blind, Jesus said. And he said, and Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. In other words, you have rejected me. I came to save you. You've rejected me. And now you're blind to God's salvation. That's exactly what sin does, doesn't it? It completely blinds us. We're blind to our own sin. We were blind to our spiritual condition before we ever came to Christ. Now listen, when a person rejects Jesus Christ as Lord, it means they are blind, and they are blind because they were born that way. Did you notice that the neighbors and the parents and the Pharisees, did they all see this incredible miracle? Yes, and none of them believed. The only person who believed was the man that was born blind. Now listen carefully for application time. I covered this whole chapter because I believe with all of my heart that every word of God is important. Amen? And we need to understand our text. We need to understand the Word of God. But yet, loved one, listen, every person on earth came into this world the same way. We came in born blind. And the reason is because of sin. You see, was this blind man beyond the help of any human cure? Yes. Well, so were we. When we came into this world, here we are. We didn't know we were born blind, but we were born blind. All of us were spiritually born blind. We were dead in trespasses and sins and so forth. And you know what? When I read that again, and many times as I've covered John, taught John and so forth, when it says that he opened the eyes of the one who was born blind, I nearly changed the entire sermon. And I was just going to talk about that one verse and say this. If Jesus our Lord, or since Jesus our Lord, opened the eyes of a man that was born this way, what do we have to worry about? Do you understand? He's our God. He's our Savior. There's absolutely nothing that he can't do. Amen? We don't have to be fearful. Listen, whatever we truly need in our life, our Father will truly provide in our life. Amen? I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, why? Christians shouldn't fear anything. We should be absolutely fearless. You're not going to die. I'm not going to die. We're not going home until God says it's time for us to go home. He knows every hair upon your head. He knows every day of your life. Nothing escapes him. He knows when you go to sleep. He knows when you get up. He never leaves you. He'll never forsake you. Listen, my Savior, your Savior, Jesus, he opened this man's eyes. And we should be there should be a tambourine under every chair. I mean, literally, or a trumpet at least. Turn with me to Ephesians. You can hold your place if you like. Yeah, please hold your place, but turn to Ephesians chapter 2 with me. We who were born blind, we who were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, born blind meaning spiritually blind, okay? Listen, I want you to see something just for a moment. Would you just look at our position there in chapter 2 of Ephesians? And let's start, I'll just go to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, spiritually dead, okay? We were going through the activities of life, but we didn't possess any spiritual life at all. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us what? Alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Now watch this in verse 6. Look at our position. He made us alive together with Christ and raised us up, what? Together, all of us. And look what he made us do when he raised us up together. He made us sit together in the heavenly places, the place of God's supernatural heavenly rule. And the only way it happened is because we were in, that's a very important word, in Christ Jesus. Now listen, that is your position. I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, I was born blind. I didn't know I had a defect. I didn't know I was messed up. And here I am. You saved me. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I look at all of that in this incredible position. And you know why he's done this? Look at verse 7. Here's our answer. He raised us up for a reason. It says that in the ages to come, he might what? Show what? The exceeding riches, that unlimited, overflowing riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Loved one, listen. Here we are. We were born blind. We're not blind now. Look at our position that we have this morning. Right this very moment, we have been made to sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, our Lord. And one day when we are there in eternity, something's going to happen. I don't know how to explain this verse totally, but it says that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Okay, now listen, the word show means to display, or do you remember when you were maybe in elementary school? I don't think they do this today. I don't really know. You've heard of show and tell? That's what that word means. In other words, he's going to do something out one day in eternity. He might call you up. He might call me up. And here we're all together. And he says, listen, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, this is old Bill here. Bill was born blind. Do you understand? He was dead in trespasses and sin. He was lost as a goose in high weeds. You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's a ball in high weeds. Sorry about that. Do you understand? He ran from me all those years. Why? Well, he was blind to the light of the world. He had his own light. He ran from me. I saved him from death 100 times, but he didn't even know it. And then one day I reached out. He didn't. I reached out to him. And you know what he did? I delivered him from his sinful life. But I did it by the exceeding riches of my grace and kindness. And then that's what he did. He reached out and saved me, who was born blind, born a slave, and he saved me on a Florida beach. That is our position and your position. One day he's going to hold you up and he's going to talk to the cherubims and the seraphims and all the rest of the imps and all the spectators and the angels. And he say, here, let me tell you about this person. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now listen, why did he save us? Why did he make us alive when we were born blind? Why did he make us where we can see? Look at it. For we, that's the church, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared, look how long ago, beforehand, that you should walk in them. Now, I'm still making application. You say, Bill, where are you going? I know you're worried about it, but I'm going to do it. Now listen, being alive from the dead, being born again, is not the end of our journey, loved one. It's the beginning, isn't it? We're the body of Christ on the Lord. We have good works that have been prepared for us beforehand that we should do something. He says that we should walk in them. That means that, now listen, God has an incredible plan. Now, here's the plan. I want you to look back now in John chapter 9, and let's look at the plan. It's found in verse 4. Watch this with me. It says, Jesus, he's passing by, the one who was born blind from birth. He says, I must work the works of him, meaning God the Father, who sent me while it is day. Now listen, God the Father sent Jesus the Son. Jesus the Son has sent us. Is that correct? Yes. Now watch this. Who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Now, that speaks also of his death. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I pray right now in Jesus' name that you embrace, your ears are open, your heart is open to this incredible verse. Number one, day denotes an urgency, okay? In other words, time is limited. Time is allotted for Jesus to do God's will and for us to do God's will. The word night there means that night is coming on and night is coming so rapidly, but that, yes, that is speaking of Jesus' death, but it's also his death on the cross, but it's also speaking to us as well, that our time is limited, amen? And then he says here, I must work, but that's not what it says in the Greek. Jesus is saying that he didn't say, I must work. You know what the best texts read? They say this. We, Jesus looks and says, we, the disciples, oh, you're following me. We must work the works of him that sent me. Listen to what he just did. Jesus just associated his disciples, and we are his disciples, that includes us, with the work that he was doing that God the Father had given him to do. That rule of love, we must work. That rule of love extends to each and every one of you. Right now, it extends to all of us. We are due to do the same before time does run out. And we must hurry. We must not neglect our calling, because time is running out and the night is coming. When we see like Jesus did, when he said to the man that the works of God would be revealed in him, he's saying, listen, human suffering is everywhere. And we have now, we pass by there, that person is, it doesn't necessarily mean they need to be healed, could be many things. But he says, listen, it's an opportunity for God's love, for God's grace, for God's salvation to touch that individual. And Jesus is saying, you, all of us, we must work the works of God while there's still time, because our time is so limited in order that God would be glorified on this planet. Now listen, you know, this morning I say something, and I know in the early service we're probably all believers. But here's the thing, if you're not, I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, you know, you need to make a decision for him before your night falls, because I promise you it will fall one day. See, you were born blind. I was born blind. You're going, I'm not blind at all. But I know this, there's only one person that can open the blind eyes. Amen? And that is the one who died for you. That is the one who paid your sin debt. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen? Now listen, you know, people think, well, Bill, why don't more people come to Christ? You know, and a lot of people come to the Lord at this church. Thank God for that. But you know, did you know that people coming to Christ is not due to bad preaching? They don't, in other words, why aren't more saved? It's not because of bad preaching. It's not because of good preaching. Did you know that? Yeah, that has to, listen, I remember at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas, you asked Becky when we were there. I tell you what, Pastor Pat, he could come in. I love that guy, man. He'd come in his work boots and you know, he poured concrete. And this guy was a high-powered executive for McDonald's, making a fortune when God saved him under Pastor Chuck. Man, he went to Vegas and opened, started the church there. He could come in all sweaty from working all day, his boots covered in mud. He's in his jeans and, you know, his hair's all messed up. And he could just spit and people would get saved. You think I'm kidding you? I've seen it. I mean, we had revival back then, real revival. I've seen it. He'd just come up and he'd fall on his knees and people would come to the altar. Listen, it's not about good preaching. It's not about bad preaching. We need good preaching. Don't get me wrong. But when we say, why are more people? You know, if you're sitting here and you don't know Christ, I'm going to tell you why you don't want to come to the Lord. Because you were born blind. But there's more to that. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:3, it says, but if our gospel is hidden, if it's veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, meaning the ones that are not coming to Christ. And it tells us why. Whose minds the god of this age, that's the devil, the god of this age, little g, not big G, the god of this age, here's, listen to what he's done, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now listen, if you don't know the Lord, listen very carefully. Satan wants to mentally keep you blinded. And you know what? You were born blind. You cannot see spiritual things at all. Your eyes are not open. Your heart is not open. And this may make you mad if you're an unbeliever, but I love you and I'm not going to blow smoke, man. You need to get saved. But listen carefully. You may not know this, but Satan has blinded you and you don't know that. But let me tell you something. If you are blind, does somebody have to help you and lead you? Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, I'm telling you what, you're born blind and he is leading you by the hand right this minute. He'll do anything to keep your mind blinded, to stop the light of the glorious good news of Jesus Christ to come and shine and explode in your heart. Listen, we were all born blind. None of us were born free. But Jesus Christ has set the captive free, and he'll open the eyes of the blind. That's why Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Meaning I am the only illumination that'll ever come into this world. And he that follows me, that travels with me, that comes to me, he says, he that follows me will not walk in darkness. You'll never, all of a sudden, everything will change. You'll not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And Lord God, this morning, if there's anyone in our presence, anyone in this early service, whether they're listening live, Lord, or in this service, if they're not saved, if they've never asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord, Father, they just heard the truth. They heard that they were born blind, spiritually blind. And Lord, there's no one that can open their eyes but you. And I pray right now as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Loved one, listen. If you have never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, from the very youngest to the very oldest in the chapel this morning, it is my prayer that right now you would come to him. You don't have to come to this altar. You have to come to Christ. Asking him to be the Lord of your life. If that's you, as every Christian is praying, I'm asking you to do something. No, I'm doing that more. I'm begging you to do something. Would you just lift your hand up and say, Bill, I want to be saved. I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to ask him to come and live in my heart. If that's you and you're not saved, just lift your hand and then put it right back down. And I want to pray for you. My last call, anyone else in the building at all? Well, Father, I am so grateful that everyone in this room, this auditorium, Lord, this chapel, they're saved. I pray, Lord, you'll bring the lost to this place where they'll hear the good news. Where they'll be saved, oh Lord. I call them, Father, we call them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Bring them to this place that they may experience and be born from above and no longer be blinded in this world. We love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, I'd love to meet you. We have a free gift for you over in the main lobby at the Visitor Center. I'm going to be going back there myself, or I'd love to talk with anybody else as well. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I encourage you to do something. Let's bring the lost, the hurting, the backslidden to church. Let's be the ambassadors of Christ. Let's be the fishers of men. Amen? Because every service, I'm not only going to feed the sheep, but I'm also going to go fishing. You understand? Because we are fishers of men. I don't want anyone. I want everyone to come to Christ. Don't you? Absolutely. I love you dearly. If you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray with you right after the song. God bless each and every one of you. Love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord.